Hello and welcome to this service coming to you from St. Martin's Church, North Nibley, on this, the 10th Sunday after Trinity. And as I stand at the window and record this, it's raining. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Please, can we have lots more? Well, it's lovely to be back. I've been all over the place except for Nibley just recently. And then I'm going away on holiday, but I do need one. I hope you will forgive me, but I'll be away for a week. You may have heard that the recorded service is going to be a hit and miss during the vacancy. I just want you to know that ain't going to happen. This recorded service means as much to me as it does to you listeners, and I will not let it not happen. So rest assured that there will be a recorded service every Sunday throughout this vacancy, if I have to climb out my coffin to do it. Now, welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy and peace be with you, and also with you. Now, if you want to get something to focus on, if you're one of these people who needs or would like something to focus on, then a Bible or a candle or something, then this is now the time to go and get it. Just shut me off and pop off, and you can turn me back on when you're ready. We worship with Christians near and far, living and departed, old and young. God's word is for everyone. And may it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so we pray to God, Lord, speak to us during this act of worship and during our lives this week, that we may hear your word. Move among us in everything that we do, that we may behold your glory. And receive our prayers, that we may learn to trust you. Amen. And the main theme of this morning is trust and having faith. So that little prayer, you know, receive our prayers that we may learn to trust you, is a big deal. We need to trust God. The Collect, that special prayer written for today, the 10th after Trinity. Lord of heaven and earth, as Jesus taught his disciples to be persistent in prayer, give us patience and courage never to lose hope, but always to bring our prayers before you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The psalm this week is Psalm 85, and it is verses 8 to 13. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his power salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for evermore, world without end. Amen. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, starting at verse 9. It's about Elijah. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel. And anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all those whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and those mouths have not kissed him." Here endeth the lesson. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 14. Glory to you, O Lord. Starting at verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The account of Jesus walking on water on his way out towards the disciples' boat begins straight after the feeding of the 5,000. That was the second recorded miracle regarding feeding people, feeding lots of people, in fact, with only a small amount of food. The difference from the previous time is that Jesus says to his disciples, "You do it this time." and that paralyzes them with fear. So Jesus has to step in again. And to us, it might seem strange. There they are, the disciples with Jesus, the Son of God, and yet they don't feel that they have the faith to believe that they too can perform miracles, even when Jesus is there with them and says, "You have a go." Anyway, he then puts them straight into their boat and he gives them a push out towards the opposite shore where they are heading and waves goodbye while he goes off at the mountain to pray. In the meantime, the wind gets up and the waves get a bit choppy. Our lives get a bit like that, don't they? There's not one of us who hasn't been placed out of our comfort zone and out of our own control at some time in our journey through life. It's not usually life-threatening, but nonetheless, we'd prefer it wasn't happening. Suddenly, our lives get nudged off their course by something that wasn't expected. I was talking to a teacher recently who is really aware that a single throwaway word or sentence said without thinking can get you in all sorts of trouble these days. And I, for one, know what that trouble feels like. The disciples in their boats were suddenly faced by a potentially dangerous situation. It might well be called a lake, but the Galilee is 13 miles long and 8 miles wide, so it's not a duck pond. As dawn approached, out of the mist and squalls, they saw Jesus walking towards them, walking on water, in fact. They panicked and immediately thought it was an apparition. But no, it was Jesus. Let's pause here for a minute. The disciples dismiss the idea that they might be looking at something real, albeit not an everyday occurrence. And they explained it to themselves instead as something real, albeit not an everyday occurrence, but not the obvious one. Not the idea that Jesus was really walking on the water to come and join them. But they were quite happy to think that it was a ghost. Here are the same disciples who a few short hours ago helped him feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves, 3 fish and collected up 12 baskets of leftovers for the second time. And they still don't believe that they got the power to do miracles. In one of the accounts of this miracle, Jesus says to his disciples, "You haven't really understood the feeding of the 5,000, have you?" If he can feed 5,000 people from one person's rations, then walking in water is going to be a piece of cake. So much so that Peter wants to have a go. "Come," said Jesus, and Peter got down out of the boat and he walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Then that thing happened that happens to us all, especially when we are young. We set off walking along a big branch in a tree with blind faith, and we think, "Yes, I can do it." And then our brain evaluates the situation and we find ourselves falling towards the earth as Newton predicted at 9.81 meters per second squared. And the moment has passed. Peter felt himself beginning to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And that's what's in it for us today, isn't it? Why do we have such little faith in Jesus when it comes to the crunch? Why does that doubt suddenly come along to destabilise and mock us? We think that we don't have enough faith, but to Jesus, faith is faith, regardless of the quantity. "A mustard seed portion can move mountains," he said. By the way, I find it interesting that whenever Jesus describes someone as having little faith, he is almost always talking about his followers. He isn't challenging people without faith to have more. He's challenging those of us with faith to have more. Jesus doesn't accuse non-believers of having little faith, and neither should we. Today's gospel is a simple story, really, but one that I think we all need to hear right now, because it reminds us of this simple, glorious truth that Jesus is with us in the midst of the storms. We can prepare for some of life's storms. They don't all hit immediately and unexpectedly. Some are more like hurricanes and tornadoes, but many of the storms of life hit immediately. And when they do, it's good to remember this story. It's good to remember that whenever we cry out in fear to the Lord, he immediately answers our prayers with the promise that he is with us. And when we take our eyes off Jesus and become overwhelmed by what is happening in our life, it is once again good to remember that Jesus will be right there to catch us when it all goes wrong. It is no wonder that when all of this was said and done and those in the boat worshipped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." That is why we worship, isn't it? To take a moment in the midst of our journey through life to gather on this little boat called faith and to worship the one who promises to be with through every storm, be with us through every storm. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we take time to set ourselves right with God. We look back on the last week, where we've got it wrong, where we said what we shouldn't have done, thought what we shouldn't have done, haven't done what we're supposed to have done, what we might have done. And there's no health in us. So we bring all this before God, knowing in true faith that God will forgive us and wipe the slate clean if we are genuinely sorry and intend to do better. Lord, we have sinned against you. We've done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive you your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now we can come to our prayer for other people, situations around the world that we need help with. Heavenly Father, your Son, Jesus, calls us to step out onto the water with him and to leave the safety of our boats. And he calls us to walk towards him in faith. He asks us to join with him in the work that he is already doing in our world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the world you've created. We pray for much greater wisdom and responsibility in our stewardship of this earth. We pray for fishermen and seafarers and all who brave the seas to bring us food and trade goods from the farthest reaches of our planet. We pray for all those people affected by fires around Europe and the world. We pray especially for the families of those who've lost loved ones because of the fires. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, our Saviour, who walks with us on our life's journey. We pray for all who travel with us in our family on that journey, among our friends and within this community of North Nibley and beyond. We pray for a deepening awareness of our need for one another and of your image in the hearts of everyone we meet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of life and pray for those whose lives are troubled by illness, grief, poverty, injustice. We pray that in the darkness of their suffering and pain, your light will shine to bring them the assurance and hope they need. We remember at this time those known personally to us and those who have requested our prayers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we place in your loving keeping all those who have died. We remember before you those whose year's mind falls now. And Lord, we pray that we too may show in our lives a promise of heaven's love, joy and peace. And we ask you for your comfort and peace to be on all who mourn. Merciful God, we thank you for your promise to hear our prayers. Strengthen our faith in that promise so that our lives might proclaim your love and mercy and goodness made visible in the life of your Son, Jesus Christ. And when the wind and waves get high and threaten to overwhelm us, help us remember Jesus' words, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We bring our prayers together with the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples, and he said, "Peace be with you." Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Amen. And so as we go out to serve the Lord in the community, faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases, and whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you, and to receive the gifts of your love, new every morning. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of you and those that you love this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with me during this worship. It really is lovely to be back with you. As I stand looking out my window, it's still raining, but I can see my gutters dripping. There was something is there. I have to get the ladder out. I'm despondent now. Right, anyway, I will be away on holiday for a week up in North Wales in my tent. So have a good time. I will be back. And yeah, thank you for worshiping with me. Bye.